Good morning, 12th Street.
Good morning.
It is great to see you here this morning. If you're visiting with us, we want to say welcome. It's great to have you here. And if you haven't filled out a visitor card, make sure that you see one of our ushers and grab one and fill that out and put it at the Welcome Center. We'd love to have a record of your visit with us today. Well, if you'll take your bulletins and look at them, we have several announcements to go through here. First of all, our college students, they go away and sometimes they feel like nobody loves them, everybody hates them, they just want to eat some worms, right? And so what we want to do is we want to be a blessing to them. So we have some shoeboxes out there, and we would ask you to either write a card of encouragement or get a snack and drop it in there, or some laundry soap, some bath items. We want to fill these boxes up for our college students so that they can know that their church family has not forgotten them. And also, they probably need to wash their clothes. And so things like that would probably be helpful to them. All right, and then very soon we're going to start our Operation Christmas Child, where we will be filling shoeboxes. And so just keep looking out for more announcements on those. For those planning on participating in the intramural volleyball, we're just going to meet at the front real quick. We won't be starting this week because we don't have all the equipment. We're still working on that. But if you'd like to participate in that, just meet at the front of the church. We need to kind of just let you know what the plan is. For those that are planning on helping us move the plants on October 15th, if you could sign up at the Welcome Center, we need to know how many people are going to help. Now, let me just tell you something. A lot of the plants that are going to be moved are going to be taken to homes, good homes. So if you can provide a good home for a plant that would like to sit out in your, you know, in front of your house or something, then come and help and you can take some plants home. The things that we're going to replant here are more the big trees and bushes that are more expensive and harder to replace. So October 15th is the date we're going to do that. October 9th, which is next Sunday, we're going to have our Missionary Sunday. The message next Sunday is how to pray for missions and how to pray for missionaries. And I'm excited about having several missions agencies and missionaries here next Sunday. We're going to get done with the service early, okay? I'm on record. I will be done before noon. It might be 30 seconds before noon, but we'll be done before noon because we want to give everybody a chance to go out and meet the missionaries, talk with them at their tables, and then we have a potluck next Sunday, and it's a Mexican themed. So fry up some rice and some beans and some tortillas, and we'll have a great time of fellowship. So make sure that you sign up at the Welcome Center also for that, for what you're going to bring for the potluck. There is a harvest party on October 8th from 4 p.m. till whenever Bo and Michelle decide that you need to go home. And it's for all families with school-aged children and younger. Please bring a dish to pass and a 2-liter of pop. And so if you have any questions about that, you can see Bo or Michelle, or you say, where do Bo and Michelle live? See Bo or Michelle, they'll tell you. The sideline program is getting ready to kick off today. So if you still would like to sponsor a teen and you haven't signed up to do that, today's the day to see Autumn Lewis. Now, Autumn's going to be a popular lady. She is out in the Welcome Center. She's got a table there, and there are several things. If you'd like to help with sideline, you can be part of that. But we need people to sign up for Trunk or Treat. We have hundreds of people that come through the evening that we do Trunk or Treat. It's Friday, October 28th from 6:30 to 8 p.m. We need people to donate water, to donate candy, to donate food. And then we need people that will also donate some things, but also come open up the trunk of their car. You can decorate the trunk of your car. I think this year we're going to have a prize for the best decorated trunk, okay? So you decorate the trunk of your car, and then people go around, and you hand out candy. So as you decorate your trunk, make sure that you also bring candy to hand out. And I don't know how many we had last year, but it was hundreds. I guess it was over 500 that we had come through last year. And then they come into the gym, they play games and stuff. We have food. And it's really just a really nice night to introduce people to our church. So if you'd like to help with that, please see Autumn. She'll get you signed up to help with something. And also, she'll make sure everything that needs to be donated you can help by donating that. Also, we have the Haunted Trail, which is our teens event, and that's on October 22nd. The cost is $5 per person. We need adults not just to run a station in the woods, but to be crowd control, to keep the kids moving. All right, we just need people that can be basically traffic control cops. When you send 100 kids through the woods in groups of between 2 and 4, that takes a while. All right, and you need to keep them moving. They get really scared and they don't want to keep moving. And so we need people to help keep things moving. And so if you would like to help at all on that night, make sure that you see Autumn at the table. So those three things you can see Autumn for. Today's the last day to sign up for the LAC trip to Essenhaus in Indiana. And they're going October 4th at 10 a.m. And it's just for ladies. So any ladies that would like to participate in that, today is the last day to sign up. And then also today is the day that we need the bird feeders back. If you did a bird feeder and you haven't brought it back, make sure that you bring it back, because those are going to be delivered soon. And if you would like to help deliver those, see Krista Asher. Whew. My favorite part of the morning. Yeah. My favorite part of the morning. We're done with announcements. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that you love us this morning, each and every one of us that are here. And whether we knew it or not before we came here, Jesus, you prayed for every single one of us while you were here on the earth. And you cared about each and every one of us. You talked to the Father. And Lord, as we look at that prayer this morning, I pray that our hearts would be just lifted up, that our voices would become filled with praise, that our lives would be lived the right way because of what you prayed for us. And Lord, I thank you that as the choir sang this morning, there's a day where the Father will look to the Son and say, go get them. And so, Lord, we look forward to that day. Until that day comes, Lord, we want to be faithful servants and stewards for you. So, God, as we spend this time here together, I pray that this would not be wasted time. I pray that this would not just be filler time, but, Lord, something meaningful in each one of our hearts and lives would happen today, because you're such a great God. You are worthy to receive good things from our lives. So now, Lord, as the giver of every good and perfect gift, we thank you for all that you do give us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us. All right, if we could find our way back to our seats. If you could please find your way back to your seats. I'd like to ask the deacons to come forward to distribute the Lord's table. And as the deacons are coming up here, I've got one verse I want to share with you before we go to communion. It says this, it's from the prayer that we're going to look at this morning as Jesus prayed for us. But here's what Jesus prayed. He said, "And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." To be sanctified is to be set apart for a holy purpose, to be set apart for a righteous cause. And Jesus said he came to set us apart for his glory. And he did that by setting himself aside for our good. And so before we go to communion this morning, I think that's just a great thought to put into the back of our minds. We don't go to communion because of who we are or what we do. We do this because Jesus Christ died for us. And if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're living in obedience to him this morning, we want you to be able to partake in communion because you're fellowshipping with the Lord as we fellowship with each other. But if you're here this morning and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then today, instead of taking communion, I would encourage you, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for you so that you could live with him in heaven. And if you're here this morning and you have unconfessed sin in your life, it's something you know that you have and you just will not confess it, I'm going to encourage you this morning not to take communion. I'm going to encourage you instead to ask the Lord to forgive you for your sin. Ask the Lord to change your life. Now, here's the wonderful thing about it. If we ask forgiveness, the Lord gives forgiveness. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, let's all examine our hearts this morning. And as we go to communion, let's let the Lord speak to each and every one of us. Don Kilburn, could you ask a blessing on the bread? Jesus took the bread and he broke it. He said, "Take, eat in remembrance of me." Bo, would you ask a blessing on the fruit of the vine? Jesus took the cup. He said, "This cup is the new testament of my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's stand together now and let's sing some praises to our Lord for what he's done for us.
Again. freedom this morning. Amen. The Bible said that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And because of what he did on the cross, you're free from sin. You can be free from guilt and shame. That's an awesome thing.
Let no one caught in sin remain inside the lie of inward shame. We fix our eyes upon the cross and run to him who showed great love and bled for us. Freely you bled for us. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake. Surrounding me. in every season. I know you love me. I know you love me. At the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? Oh.
To come forth.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We come to you as a congregation that is ready to proceed with the relationship that you have given to us. We thank you for your salvation. We look forward to hearing the word that and message that you have laid upon Thad's heart. We come to you and give this offering to you to show our responsibility that we have to you and to show how we are a blessing to you in our obedience to the word. Lord, we ask that you bless the offering, bless the giver, and may you put the offering to good use within the church. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
as a thousand times I try to hear from heaven, but I talk the whole time. I think I've made you too small. I never feared you at all, no. If you touch my face, would I know you? Looked into my eyes, could I behold you? What do I know of you, who spoke me into motion? Where have I even stood but the shore along your ocean? Are you fire? Are you fury? Are you sacred? Are you beautiful?
You don't know the Lord as holy, then you don't know the Lord. And if you think, I've got my own relationship with God, and I've got my own way that God is, then you don't know the Lord, because he is who he is. And when we know him as holy. We know him as the one who is righteous, altogether perfect, the one who wants to speak with us and have a personal relationship with each one of us. At this time, we'll dismiss the children to Children's Church. Let's take our Bibles and turn to John chapter 17. John 17. Now, if you're here this morning and you go, I don't like to pray out loud, I don't think that there's any reason I ever have to pray out loud, then you don't understand why Jesus teaches us to pray. He doesn't teach us just to pray so that we can pray with him on our own individually, although it is important to want to talk to him on our own individually. But the Lord Jesus himself, as he prays out loud for other people to hear. And the reason he does that is to teach them to pray, and it's recorded in Scripture to teach us how to pray. And if somebody says, well, I don't ever have to pray out loud, then you're very ignorant in your faith. In fact, you're not only ignorant, you're very selfish in your faith. Because anybody here that has children, that has a neighbor, that has somebody that you talk to on a regular basis, they need to hear you pray. Because that's how they're going to learn. And so here in John chapter 17, Jesus has just preached a very lengthy message to his disciples at the Lord's table. In John 15 through and 16, the whole, everything that he says there, in fact, starting John 14, that's all a message he preaches while they're at the Lord's table. And he preaches that to them. And then he closes out the time and he says, you know what? I'm just going to start praying. And he lifts up his eyes to the Father and he just starts praying. And we have recorded here a full prayer that Jesus prays. He prays this out loud for his disciples to hear it because he wants them to understand the truths that he says. And he doesn't pray just for them. He prays for us. So as we read through this morning, he is praying for you individually. He's praying for us as a church collectively, and he's praying for all who come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ for all time. Storm was raging outside, and the captain realized that his ship was sinking fast, and so he called out, "Anyone here know how to pray?" And one man stepped forward. "Aye, Captain, I know how to pray." "Good," said the captain. "You pray while the rest of us put on life jackets. We're one short." Now, would you rather have the life jacket or be the one that knew how to pray? John 17, 1, these words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to the heaven and said, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify you." This is the first blank in your bulletin. Jesus' purpose was the same as ours. Glorify God. Jesus' purpose, same as ours. Glorify God. God. In verse 2, "And you have given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." All right, this is eternal life. We live in a world where, in quote-unquote Christian faith, that people are now saying, well, Jesus isn't the only way to heaven. That's not what Jesus prayed here, is it? As Jesus prays here and he speaks to the Father, he says, listen, they got to believe in the only one that you have sent, Jesus Christ. Then look at verse 4. "I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do." Here's a second blank in your bulletin. Jesus Christ is eternal life. Now, just something interesting here as Jesus is praying. Jesus and the Father are one. They're both two of the three entities of the Trinity. So we have two-thirds of the Trinity speaking to each other, right? This is prayer. As the Son speaks to the Father, he says, "I've done everything that you've told me to do. I've finished all the work that you gave me to do." And here's that work. It's to give you and I eternal life. He glorifies the Father by giving you and I eternal life. Look at verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify me with your own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. See, the Bible tells us that from the creation of the world, Jesus is the Lamb who was slain. So before, now we're talking in terms of time, God is bigger than time, but this is so we can understand the relationship of God the Father with God the Son. Before creation, the Father and the Son shared the glory. It was equal. It was all theirs together. And then when God begins creation, the Word, who is the Son, speaks. And when he speaks, let there be light. When he speaks, let there be an earth. Let there be heavens. Let there be planets. When he speaks, all of a sudden, the glory that the Son had with the Father changes. Because now the Son is obedient to the Father. The glory no longer is held by them together. The glory, anything that the Son does to receive glory, is meant to be focused right back up to the Father. This is a great illustration for marriage. The Father and the Son were equal. Both, all the glory was just consumed by them together and with the Spirit too. But then, because of creation, because of the foundation of the world, the Son took on the form of a servant and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He humbled himself. And you know what happens in marriage? The glory goes somewhere. You know who ultimately the Christ, the head of the church, receives the glory? But, you know, in the home, the glory should be funneling up to the husband. And the husband shares that glory with the wife. But her job is not to bring the glory to herself. It's to reflect it back up to the husband. And when she does that, they both receive glory. When she hogs it, they both don't receive the glory. When he hogs it, they both don't receive the glory, although it's meant to be directed to him. This is Father, this is Son relationship as they teach us how to interact with each other. God the Father, when those words of creation which were spoken, the Word, John 1 tells us, is Jesus. When he speaks the word of creation, he chooses to bring on humility. He becomes obedient unto death. It's going to be a few thousand years before Jesus dies from the first word of creation. But he had already taken on a role that was submissive to the Father. And here's what happened. The glory no longer went to both of them together. The glory went to the Father. And everything that the Son did was to bring glory to the Father. Jesus longed in his humanity for that day when together they would receive the glory. He prays it right there in verse 5. O Father, glorify me with your own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Let's just skip down real quick to verse 24 because we need to see this come around full circle. In verse 24, Jesus says, Father, I will that they also whom you gave me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. So, the glory that Jesus had before the foundation of the world, he says, I want them to see me in that glory. You see, when Jesus was on the earth, he was not seen in that glory. Jesus, as a human, was seen in a submissive role, in a role where he would become sin, where he would become the sacrifice. And as in that role, Jesus set aside the glory. And here's what he prays. He says, someday, all these people, we're going to talk about this in a minute, all of us who are saved, when we go to heaven, we will see Jesus in that glory. See, the disciples that were with Jesus, they saw him in a lot of amazing ways. But they never saw him in that glory, except for Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John went to the top of the Mount of Transfiguration. And there, Jesus was transfigured before them, which means heaven was opened up and glory of the Father was revealed. Here's the difference between what Jesus will be when we see him when we die and who Jesus was in that moment. Peter saw that, but then he also saw Moses and Elijah, and he goes, let's go make three tabernacles. In honor of seeing Jesus, Moses, and Elijah in glory. Which means that Jesus' glory in that moment wasn't it more spectacular than the other two. It was just heaven being peeled back. And so then the Father speaks from heaven and says, this is my beloved Son, hear him. The other two are gone and Jesus is there no longer in his glory. So the glory that Jesus desires is even a glory that's greater than that which was seen on the Mount of Transfiguration when he was seen in the glory of heaven. The glory that Jesus desires is where he and the Father are once more unified completely. Not that Jesus didn't enjoy being the sacrifice for our sin. It pleased the Father that he was bruised, and I think he was glad to be our sacrifice. But there's just something there about his humanity desiring for his creation, us, those who he saved, those who he redeemed, those who he sanctified, set apart from the world. Something about him wanting us to see him in that state where he and the Father are one. All right, let's go back up to verse 6. In verse 6, he says, I have manifested your name unto the men which you gave me out of the world. Thine they are, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. In verse 8, he says, for I have given unto them the words which you gave me. I mean, do you hear the submission there? Jesus, he's the word of God. He can give them the words. But what does Jesus do? I gave them the words that you gave me. Again, the glory being funneled right back to the Father. And they have received them. In verse 9, he says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. He prays for those who have received his truth, his words. Jesus doesn't pray for the world. Okay? Now, is he saying, I'm only going to pray for people that are saved? He's only praying for people that are obedient unto his truth. He doesn't pray for the world. He doesn't pray for those who remain in their sinfulness, because those who remain in their sinfulness cannot bring glory to God. And so you're sitting here this morning and you say, well, I know I'm saved because and you can name off X, Y, and Z that you have done. And I'm going to tell you this. You're living in a precarious situation, because salvation is not about what you have done. It's about what Jesus did for you. And what Jesus did for you is far greater than your checking the boxes of X, Y, and Z. And how do I know that I'm saved? Well, I know that I'm saved because the Spirit bears witness with my spirit and testifies to me, you're saved because the glory that my life gives to God. And when my life does not bring glory to God, Peter gave us a strong, strong warning. He said, search out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Look at verse 10. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And what does Jesus want for us as we are glorified in Jesus? Verse 11, now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your own name those who you have given me, that they may be as one as we are. At that moment, the Son was still in submission to the Father. They did not receive the same glory. The Son wanted all the glory to be funneled through him and directed toward the Father. And he says, as we are one, he says, Lord, let them be one. Collectively, he wants all of us to funnel all the glory to the Father. When we do that, we're one. When we don't do that, we're many. Verse 15, he says, I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from evil. Yeah. Jesus didn't pray and say, Lord, when you save them, take them out of the world. No, he says, keep them in the world. I'm not praying, Lord, that you get them away from the world. No, keep them there. But Lord, while they're in the world, keep them from evil. You know, that's what Jesus prays for you. And so if you in your life right now, you have evil that is pouring into your life, and you have evil that's pouring back out of your life, you are not living according to the will of God, because the prayer of Jesus for you was that you would be in this world, but that you would be kept from evil. So the third point in your bulletin is this. It says, Jesus saved us so that we would bring glory to God. Are we going to bring glory to God by bringing evil into our life? No. He saved us so that we could bring glory to God, just like he did. Look at verse 17 in John 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We are set apart from the world through God's truth. So, number four, Jesus sets us apart for the sake of truth. Not our truth, his truth. What I like about the song that Rachel sang this morning, it's knowing God is holy is not how I want to define holy. It's not how I want to define God. It's not the way I want God to be. God is who he is. And as I come to the truth, I see the truth. But when I go away from the truth, I distort God in my mind. Go towards the truth. Jesus said, I gave them truth. My word is truth. And then look at verse 18. As you have sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Point five in your bulletin is this. Jesus was sent by the Father to bring salvation to the world. We are sent to share that salvation with the world. We take that salvation that Jesus brought to the world and we share it with the world. That's how we bring glory to God. We don't bring glory to God by just being good, because you could sit here this morning, you could say, you know what? I do a great job at keeping from evil. I don't do any evil. Okay? So are you taking the salvation that Jesus gave to you and are you sharing it with the world? Well, no, that's just not the kind of person I am. Then you're not being who God has left you on this earth to be. We're left here to be sanctified, set apart from the world, from the evil. But we're also left here to take that salvation and share it with the world. Look at verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So Jesus says, I'm praying not just for the disciples. I'm praying for those who the disciples share the gospel with, and then those who they share the gospel with, and then they share that, and all those who believe through the sharing of the truth. And so, you know, this morning we can look at this and we can know that Jesus was praying for us, and here's what he prays for us specifically. Verse 21, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. When we as a church, when we as the body of Christ are not one, we teach the world the wrong message of Jesus Christ. You know what makes us one? Our faith in Jesus. Now you say, well, is this speaking about, are we going to be one with all the Christians of the world? In a sense, yes. In a sense, yes. But it's really impossible for us to be one with people that believe other things. And so I think that the way that this will apply, and as you go through the rest of the New Testament, and as Paul teaches on the meeting of the body of Christ and the assembly of the church together, that we can only really apply this and make it work on a daily and weekly basis. Let's just start with our own church. That we can get along and be one as the Father and the Son are one. Now that is a tall order, isn't it? That's almost a frightful thing. Man, well, Jesus and the Father, as they are one, we're all supposed to be one. Yes. That's his prayer for us. And when we're not, then we're not what we're supposed to be. Okay, let's shrink it down a little bit more, because you're going, oh man, in the church, it's like, well, there's a lot of people here. How about your family? Are you one as the Father and the Son are one? Or is your family just splintered? See, as believers, we are called to this high, high calling. To bring glory to the Father. And when we don't behave in the way that God wants us to, we do not bring glory to him. And if you're selfish enough to sit here this morning and say, well, I'm just going to live my faith my way anyway, then you're making this prayer that Jesus prayed for you irrelevant. And Jesus' prayer for you is not irrelevant. Keep reading with me here. In verse 23, we got to go verse 22. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. So the glory that the Father gave to the Son. Why did the Father give the Son glory? So that the Son could bring glory to the Father. Okay, they're trying to one up each other by giving the best for each other. Okay, so now verse 23, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. That word perfect isn't like, you know, never makes a mistake. That word perfect there is complete. Complete. Entire. That we are unified. And that the world may know that you have sent me and has loved me as you have loved, or that the Lord has loved them as you have loved me. As we are complete and together in unity, we show the world how the Father and the Son were together in unity. And when we show the world that we are not together, we show the world a wrong picture of the Father and the Son. So then Jesus, he prays in verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you have seen, have sent me, and I have declared unto them your name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. The last point is Jesus brings unity to those who follow him. He brings that unity. See, everything in our political world right now, the social climate, is trying to pull us apart. Don't you sense that? Don't you get that feeling? Everything we read, everything we see on the news, everything that's out there is just trying to pull us apart and tear us apart. And the world is trying to convince us that Jesus fractures things. What the world is putting out there is, well, if you do things the Bible way, if you declare that Jesus is the only way, you're going to splinter things. And you know what? The world will splinter because of Jesus. Jesus is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to the world. But to those of us who believe, he is the power of God. To those of us who believe, we are united together in him. The reality is that sin fractures things. Jesus, in this climactic moment with his disciples, just before he enters into the Garden of Gethsemane to be arrested, he prays this penultimate prayer that calls for those who he has saved to be one as he and the Father are one. Why? So that the world could believe. The love of Christ for sinful humanity would be seen through our display of love toward each other. We're not one with the world. We're one with each other. So my question to you this morning, are you more one with the world than you are with your church family? Do you have more in common with the world than you have in common with your brothers and sisters in Christ? If so, you've got a problem. And that problem can be remedied this morning. Because here's what Jesus offers. He gives us this awesome example through this prayer. And so through this prayer, he lets us know that in our prayer life, we can ask for unity with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Christ has already prayed for it, so we know that is God's will. When you have a problem with somebody in church, do you ever stop and pray and say, God, I don't want to have a problem with them. Fix me. Do you ever pray that? No, you know what we usually do? Well, first of all, we don't pray about it at all. We just go talk to somebody else about it and pretend that it's a prayer request. Right? But you know what we should be doing? God, fix me for my problem that I have with this individual. God, help me to figure out why I'm not at unity with them, because I know that they love Jesus. They're just not like me. So teach me, Lord, not to be like them, but to like and love them. In your prayer life, do you ever pray for the unity in our church? Or do you sit at tables with people on your phones, over your computers, and tear down your fellow body? Do you rip apart the unity with your holy gossip? Have your prayers been tending towards selfish desires? God give me, God change them, God help them. I want to encourage you this morning, pray as Jesus prayed. How did Jesus pray for you? God, Father, through your Spirit, make me one with my church. And so let me just put it in order. If you're not good with God because you're following evil, you're following the world, and you're not following him, that's the first thing, okay? Romans puts it real. It says, be excellent at what is good and be innocent of evil. So put off the evil, put on the good. Where are you at with your family? If your family isn't one, how are you going to be at one with your church family if you can't be with your family at home? And then where are you with your church family? You know, I believe with all of my heart, the closer we draw to each other, the more it becomes a magnet to the world that needs Jesus. And my prayer for 12th Street Baptist Church is that people will just drive by and the unity that we have with each other even though they may only see the outward workings of it, that they would be drawn to it like a magnet. Because that was Jesus' prayer for us. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you for this prayer that you gave to us, because you've shown us what your desire is. I do look forward, Lord. I've never seen you face to face, and the only time I ever will see you will be with you and the Father sharing the glory. What a glorious day that will be. But Lord, until then, I pray that my life will bring unity to your church, that my love will draw others to Jesus, not just the way I love Jesus, but the way that I love others. And Lord, if anyone here does not have a testimony of faith in Jesus Christ, I pray this morning that they would just surrender themselves to you. And Lord, this morning you want to set them apart from the world. You want to include them into what you've prayed for us. And I pray that if anyone here has never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, they'd have the courage, as we sing this song, to come to the front and shake my hand and say, I need Jesus. And Lord, this morning, you will save them. Lord, for the Christian, I just pray that we would be honest, that we'll allow you to accomplish and fulfill your wonderful work. And so as we sing this song in closing, Lord, have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together as we close the service.
Hope beyond measure, love beyond cost. Oh, truth so compelling, I came to the cross. Your beauty from ashes, because Jesus is living in me, and because of Christ, salvation is my song, and on that cross, he died and I was born. The power of sin, because Jesus is living in me, and because of Christ, salvation is my song, and on that cross,
Lord, that we would live this week in a way where the world looks at our love for